Angels above us are silent notes taking. It has been a great influence in my life. It has saved me many times to realize that this is true. It is always a privilege and blessing for me to stand before and address the priesthood, to speak to a body of the priesthood and realize what the priesthood is. Should make all of us humble. The priesthood is the power of God by which all things are done. The priesthood which we hold is the power of God delegated to us to act in His name in the office which we hold. And when He gives us that priesthood, we make a covenant with Him. And He makes a covenant with us that I should like to read this evening. For whoso is faithful unto the obtaining of these two priesthoods, who is faithful unto the obtaining, which requires him as a deacon to begin to do those things which will make it possible for him to hold these two priesthoods, and the magnifying their calling, are sanctified by the Spirit under the renewing of their bodies. They become the sons of Moses and Aaron, and the seed of Abraham, and the church and kingdom, and the elect of God. And also they who receive this priesthood receiveth me, saith the Lord. For he that receiveth my servants receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth my Father. And he that receiveth my Father receiveth my Father's kingdom. Therefore, all that my Father hath shall be given unto him. And this is according to the oath and covenant which belongeth to the priesthood. Therefore, all those who receive the priesthood receive this oath and covenant of my Father, which he cannot break, neither can it be moved. But whoso breaketh this covenant after he hath received it, and altogether turneth away therefrom, shall not have forgiveness of sins, altogether turneth away. But it's up to us whether that covenant is kept. We make that covenant. The Lord cannot break it, and we have the responsibility of keeping it. This evening I should like to say a few words about the order of the priesthood, or some of the things that take place under the priesthood. First, I wish to explain how, following the death of the president of the church, a new president is chosen, ordained, and set apart. I thought this might be of interest to the Aaronic priesthood, as well as others. And the presidency is reorganized, following which they are sustained in a solemn assembly by the quorum of the priesthood and by those members of the church present at general conference, as they were yesterday, and then by members throughout the church in their state conferences. Also, I shall refer to some of the authority, duties, and responsibilities of the president. As you all know, 3 months ago, our beloved president, Joseph Fielding Smith, was called home to his great reward and to other duties. He was certainly a true servant of the Lord and a prophet of God, who from his childhood lived to the best of his ability the teachings of the gospel and kept his covenant. He was a man without guile, and his passing was as near a translation as possible. The Thursday before his death, he gave a powerful address to the seminar of the regional representatives and mission representatives assembled in Salt Lake City. Sunday, July the 2nd, the day of his death, he attended his Sunday meetings in his ward and participated as usual. He returned home, and after his evening meal, he sat in his favorite chair, talking to his daughter, and quietly passed from mortal life. On the death of the president of the church, the first presidency is disorganized, and the counselors take their places in the quorum of the 12, which, according to Revelation, assumes the responsibility of the presidency of the church because they hold the Melchizedek priesthood and are the next quorum in authority, according to the Doctrine and Covenants. The church, therefore, is never left without a presidency. The president of the quorum, naturally, is the chief or executive officer of the 12. And the 12 continues as the presidency of the church until such time as the first presidency is reorganized. Following the death of Joseph the prophet, the 12, with Brigham Young as president of the quorum and with that authority which had been given to him to them by the Lord through the prophet, presided over the church for a number of years. Finally, they were moved upon by the Holy Spirit to reorganize the first presidency of the church with Brigham Young as president, with Heber C. Kimball and Willard Richards as his counselors. In reality, this organization might have been effected within 24 hours after the death of the prophet Joseph. Upon the death of President Young, President John Taylor followed in similar measure the example of his predecessor. And it was some time before the presidency of the church was organized with John Taylor as president and George Q. Cannon and Joseph F. Smith as counselors. After the death of President Taylor, Wilford Woodruff, president of the 12, hesitated and allowed a little time to pass before the presidency was reorganized. When at last he became convinced it was his duty and was necessary in order to carry out the purposes of the Lord, he, with the 12, reorganized the presidency of the church. At that time, he gave a solemn injunction to his fellow servants in relation to this. He desired it understood that in all future times, if the president of the church should die and thereby the presidency of the church disorganized, it would be the duty of the proper authorities of the church to proceed at once, without any unnecessary delay, to reorganize the first presidency, which procedure has since been followed. Therefore, on July the 7th, 1972, shortly after the passing of President Joseph Fielding Smith, President Lee, as president of the 12, called a meeting of the 12 to reorganize the first presidency of the church. At this meeting, we called upon the Lord in solemn prayer. Then each member of the 12, starting with the junior member, was called by the president of the quorum to express his feelings regarding the matter at hand. When it became President Kimball's turn to speak, he, at the conclusion of his remarks, nominated President Harold B. Lee as president of the church, which motion was duly seconded and put to the 12 and carried unanimously. President Lee responded to the nomination and the action of the 12 accepting the high and holy calling. He then nominated for the consideration of the 12 N. Eldon Tanner as first counselor and Marion G. Romney as second counselor. This was unanimously approved. President Spencer W. Kimball, as senior member of the 12, was nominated and approved as president of the quorum of the 12. Following this, President Kimball joined with other members of the 12 as they placed their hands upon the head of President Lee and ordained him and set him apart as president of the church and as prophet, seer, and revelator, and trustee in trust of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. President Lee then set apart President Tanner and President Romney as his counselors and President Kimball as president of the 12. This being an election year in the United States, these activities point up quite clearly the contrast of choosing the President of the United States and other officers in the government and the way the Lord has directed his church leaders be chosen and placed in office. I'm most thankful unto the Lord for the signal privilege that I have had of associating so closely with and laboring under and sustaining three of the prophets of God, and to see how the Lord works through them. And I humbly pray continually that I may serve in an acceptable manner to the Lord and to them. Here I wish to express my deep appreciation and love for President Marion G. Romney. I've learned to love these two men as I have never loved men before. And while I'm speaking of love, I should like to express my love for the members of the Council of the Twelve, and for other general authorities, and for all members of the church. In fact, I have a feeling of love for mankind, and just hope and pray always that the Lord will make it possible for me to show that love. Now, President Lee, I am sure, was chosen and foreordained to be a prophet of God and president of this church. The Lord has certainly prepared him for this high and holy calling by giving him responsibilities and stakes as director of the welfare program, and for 30 years a member of the Council of the Twelve. Presently, he has proven his faithfulness, dedication, and ability, as referred to by Brother Hinckley here tonight and by many of the speakers during our conference thus far. He's been chosen to preside over the church in one of the most critical periods of time in the history of the world. He's a prophet of God and speaks the will of the Lord. President Joseph Fielding Smith made this astute observation at the solemn assembly where he was sustained as president of the church. Quote, "I desire to say that no man of himself can lead this church. It is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is at the head. The church bears his name, has his priesthood, administers his gospel, preaches the doctrine, and does his work. He chooses men and calls them to be instruments in his hands to accomplish his purposes, and he guides and directs them in their labors. But men are only instruments in the Lord's hands, and the honor and glory for all that his servants accomplish is and should be ascribed unto him forever. If this were the work of man," he continues, it would fail, but it is the work of the Lord, and he does not fail. And we have the assurance that if we keep the commandments and are valiant in the testimony of Jesus and are true to every trust, the Lord will guide and direct us and his church in the paths of righteousness for the accomplishment of all his purposes. He then said of his first counselor, who is now president of the church, "President Harold B. Lee is a pillar of truth and righteousness, a true seer who has great spiritual strength and insight and wisdom, and whose knowledge and understanding of the church and its needs is not surpassed." Unquote. And the Lord said to Frederick G. Williams, as the Lord said to him, second counselor to the prophet Joseph Smith, these words, "Listen to the voice of him who speaketh, to the word of the Lord your God, unto whom I have given the keys of the kingdom, which belongs always under the presidency of the high priesthood. Therefore, verily, I acknowledge him and will bless him and also thee, inasmuch as thou art faithful in counsel, in the office which I have appointed unto you, in prayer always, vocally and in thy heart, in public and in private, and in thy ministry and proclaiming the gospel in the land of the living among thy brethren." This applies to every holder of the priesthood. The words of the Lord to the prophet Joseph in his calling to preside over the church applies equally to our beloved President Harold B. Lee, wherein he said, "Thou shalt be called a seer, a translator, a prophet, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Wherefore," meaning the church, "thou shalt give heed unto all his words and commandments, which he shall give unto you as he receiveth them, walking in all holiness before me. For his word ye shall receive as if from mine own mouth, in all patience and faith. For by doing these things the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. Yea, and the Lord God will disperse the powers of darkness before you, and cause the heavens to shake for your good and his name's glory. For thus saith the Lord God, him have I inspired to move the cause of Zion in mighty power for good, and his diligence I know, and his prayers I have heard." And as I said before, this applies as much to President Lee as it did at the time it was spoken. "Behold, I will bless all those who labor in my vineyard with mighty blessing, and they shall believe on his words, which are given him through me by the Comforter, which manifesteth that Jesus was crucified by sinful men for the sins of the world, yea, for the remission of sins unto the contrite heart." Our duty is clearly set out there, brethren. You deacons, you teachers, you priests, you elders and 70s and high priests. What a tremendous privilege it is to hold the priesthood of God and have a prophet of God directing us today. And as Joseph Smith clearly stated regarding the president of the church, every officer in the church is under his direction and he is directed of God. Let us always remember this. The president of the church holds the keys of the Melchizedek priesthood, and there is no business or office in the church that the president of the church may not fill. In fact, every office in the church belongs to the president. The Lord, in speaking to the prophet Joseph Smith, said, and again, the duty of the president of the office of the high priesthood is to preside over the whole church and to be like unto Moses. Behold, here is wisdom, yea, to be a seer, a revelator, a translator, and a prophet, having all the gifts of God which he bestows upon the head of the church. It is most important that we, as members of the church, accept without reservation President Lee as the prophet of God and as our leader. And I'm glad that I can say that from the bottom of my heart with every bit of feeling I have. Let us listen to the prophet's voice and follow him, not blindly, but by faith. As we do this, we'll never go astray. No holder of the priesthood can take it lightly. It is important that every member magnify his priesthood and realize that it is a great privilege and blessing to be able to hold the priesthood of God. We must be true to the faith and dependable in every way. We must be an example to the world. I want to say to you, young men, remember that the priesthood which you hold is the power of God delegated to you to act in his name in the office which you hold. The Lord expects every man, every one of us, to live worthy of this priesthood and be an example to the world. As President Lee said when he was first interviewed after being appointed president of this church, and which has been referred to today, his message to the world and surely to every one of us, keep the commandments. As we do this, we will be blessed. We never know what position or blessing the Lord has in store for us. It's our responsibility to prepare for any call that may come to us. Joseph, who was sold into Egypt, had no idea that he was the one chosen to save his people. Through his faithfulness and by overcoming temptation, he was blessed and strengthened by the Lord and recognized for his faithfulness. Moses, in his youth, did not know that he was to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, and Mormon did not know in advance of the great and important work that he and his son Moroni would perform in preparing and preserving the sacred records concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ. In each case, it was because they proved their faithfulness from boyhood. And in every position that they held, they proved themselves worthy and were accepted by the Lord. I was thrilled as that group sang this afternoon that chorus, "Shall the youth of Zion falter?" There's a difference in singing it and singing no than in living it. And I should like to urge every young man, under the sound of my voice this night, to prove to the Lord that the youth of Zion has not and will not falter, but they'll be an example to the world, an influence for good. And remember that if you want to be great men, you have to be great boys or youth, preparing yourselves as our president did while he was in his youth. Joseph Smith, at the age of 14, had no idea that he would be president of the church, a prophet of God. All he wanted to know was which church he should join and which was true. He was foreordained, as each and every one of us is foreordained, for some purpose. And because he proved faithful and lived worthy, he was called to this high position. Let us live so as to be worthy and accomplish those things for which we have been foreordained. President Lee, as a young man, had no idea that he would ever be president of the church. But his faithful performance in every office that he held proved him worthy. It is just as important that the president of the deacon's quorum or the teacher's quorum perform his duties and walk uprightly before the Lord as it is for the president of the elders, 70s, or high priest quorum, if he wants to be an instrument in the hands of the Lord. The Lord expects every man to do his duty and to be true to the covenants he makes, as recorded in the Doctrine and Covenants, where the Lord said, "Wherefore now let every man learn his duty, and to act in the office in which he is appointed in all diligence. He that is slothful shall not be counted worthy to stand, and he that learns not his duty and shows himself not approved shall not be counted worthy to stand." Even so, amen. Why should we think to earn a great reward if we now shun the fight? It is important that every holder of the priesthood, old and young, discipline himself, overcome evil, keep himself morally clean, keep the word of wisdom, keep the Sabbath day holy, be honest in his dealings and true to the trust of others, and live so as to be loved and respected by all who know him, that others, seeing his good works, may be led to glorify our Father in heaven. We must see that the work of the Lord goes forward and help his church and kingdom here upon the earth to grow and expand until it fills the whole earth. This is our responsibility as holders of the priesthood. Man is that he might have joy. Enjoy life by doing those things which are right. There is no joy or satisfaction in sin, but there are great blessings promised to the faithful. No young man under the sound of my voice knows for what he has been foreordained or what is in store for him, but the Lord has promised him. All saints who remember to keep and do these sayings, walking in obedience to the commandments, oh, he's not referring only to the word of wisdom, but walking in obedience to all the commandments, shall receive health in their navel and marrow to their bones, and shall find wisdom and great treasures of knowledge, even hidden treasures, and shall run and not be weary, and shall walk and not faint. And I, the Lord, give unto them a promise that the destroying angel shall pass by them as the children of Israel and not slay them. May we all express our appreciation every night and every morning to the Lord for the privilege we have of holding priesthood, being members of his church, and pray for courage and strength to live as we should, and thereby prepare ourselves and help prepare others to prepare themselves for eternal life. I humbly pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.